It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 676. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is one word, Mike Tech Show. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow, and Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial. You can go to instanthousecall.com, use the promo code Mike Tech Show, and get your 15-day trial. This show's right before Christmas. If you are buying anything for the holidays, for anybody from Amazon, maybe it's a gift card for a stocking stuffer, use Carrie Holzman and myself, our Amazon link. It is in the show notes. When you go to miketechshow.com, I'm actually working on a banner that we can put on the left-hand side. But if you click on that, it'll bring you to Amazon, and anything you purchase during that session, a small percentage comes back. Your price stays the same, but a small percentage comes back to help support Tech Vets, the Mike Tech Show, Carrie Holzman, and myself. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your continued support. Tonight's show, one topic, very simple. The email migration from hell on Saturday, but it has a happy ending. There are many lessons. There will be two important downloads that I will put in the show notes. So let's begin. I have a CPA firm that has Exchange Local on a small business server 2011 domain controller. They want to move email to hosted Exchange. I work with Sherweb. There's other products out there like AppRiver or just straight to Microsoft with Office 365. But I work with Sherweb for the last few years. I'm familiar with it. That's what I move my clients to. So we plan for Saturday, this past Saturday, to do the actual migration. Now, the prep work before that, whenever you begin any kind of a mail migration, you have to make sure you have access to their MX records and that they own and control their DNS, the public DNS. One of the first things I find, they have a network solutions account. They haven't given control away for the website, which happens with a lot of clients. And I see that I have full control to be edit to edit the MX records. Perfect. Now we set up a day, a week in advance, where I remote in and we buy and set up the account on Sherweb. We buy 11 email accounts. And then we also purchase the encryption, which is through Proofpoint, but we're not activating encryption over the weekend. We're going to make sure that email's up and running and flowing properly and that all the email's been uploaded and making sure that's fine. Then we turn on the encryption afterwards during the week. So the night before, I log into Network Solutions. I copy all of the settings that I'm going to be changing. And I make sure I have them so if we have to back out, I can put them all back. I then change the MX records. I add an entry for Auto Discover. Now, Auto Discover is where when you begin to configure an email client, it looks for the Auto Discover locally, and then it looks outside in the public DNS. And if you have an entry there, which we do, it's an IP address that was provided by Sherweb for their account, that IP address, it will then help auto-configure from the host your client. Maybe it's an Android, or maybe it's an iPhone, or it's Outlook. And it's supposed to ease in the creating a profile on a computer. I add that auto discover entry. We start at 9 a.m. We're on site and we hit all of the computers and start exporting all of the email to a local PST on the computer to make it nice and fast, nice and easy. We only had 4 mailboxes that were 10 gig or slightly more. Everybody else was like a gig or under. So we had 4 big mailboxes. Now, this is important because we're going to have to upload that mail to the hosted exchange service. And they have a very small pipe because they have Comcast. And so, as anybody knows, the upload is capped at 20 meg and they barely get 17 meg up. One of the things I like to do because I have gig up and down, I have a very fast external drive that's a fast SSD. It's all USB 3. I take the big email, the big PSTs when they're done exporting, and I like to bring them home, upload them or FTP them to a holding area that SureWeb provides. And then once they're uploaded with those unique file names, it's easy to just mark which one you want them imported to. And then all their emails imported. And then if you leave the Outlook client open, it'll just come down. And then I can just remote in. So we kick off the export for all the systems. Then I note those 4 that I know I'm going to be copying to an external drive. And we also put instant house call on each computer so I have control and I can remote in and do things later on to be able to assist. Once the exports are done, I no longer need the local exchange server. I have everything I need. So the first link will be something I learned and talked about a long time ago when I started migrations when you have a local exchange server. You have a local auto discover that if you open up Outlook, it automatically goes right to that domain controller and the server and looks for that auto discover instead of going to the external DNS that I really want it to go to right now. The first thing you want to do is open a Exchange PowerShell prompt and you have to run the following command, get-client access server. And I'm going to have this as a little text file. Once you get the client access server name, there is a command that you then put that line in and you basically are telling the server to auto discover set to null. And now auto discover won't work locally because I remember I wanted to go pull the SureWeb. Then I Since it's Active Directory, DNS is hosted there, I edit and make a DNS entry for AutoDiscover, just in case, and I put the IP address that I did externally to Network Solutions. Hope everybody's with me. Then I disable every Exchange service. So this way, when I reboot the server, Exchange will not start up. I reboot. There's one desktop and 10 laptops. So the desktop, I want to guinea pig by setting up a new profile. I'm trying to set up the new profile to SureWeb, and it won't take the password. I double checked. I reset the password at the admin control panel in the cloud. We can't do it. I'm trying everything, and it just keep getting a prompt. It's Office 2016. So it's Outlook 2016. I keep entering and I keep getting a prompt for the password. Then finally, it fails and it says it cannot connect after you do it a few times. And I'm doing this on this desktop and it's just brutal. I spend an hour. We go to another one of the other systems, another laptop. I have the same problem. What's going on here? The way we're seeing it, it's like the local auto discover is still in place and it's not letting us connect to SureWeb to get our profile going. I call SureWeb tech support. His name is Gabriel. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is I gave Gabriel, which you'll hear at the end, a full best rating I could on the survey because he hung with us all day. Gabriel and I start getting creative. And I like some of these ideas, some of the things we do. He wants us to change the host file. Because the host file, it should look there first before it goes out. And we put the auto-discover in there. No joy. He says, is there a way you can get on a public network there, away from the domain, and try to connect and see if it works? I said, that's a great idea, but they have no Wi-Fi. I don't have a USB network adapter for this desktop, or I would try to make my phone a hotspot, but I'm in a position in this building where I don't have a great connection. So, okay, no problem. They have a firewall. I take one of the laptops and an Ethernet cable back to the server room and plug directly into the Comcast router. I can't get an IP address. Even when I give it a manual one, I still can't get out. So I'm having trouble getting out to the public network bypassing their internal domain. We're working now a couple hours on this. And he said, I think you got to take them somewheres. And I said, you know what? It's getting to be about lunchtime now. Everybody's tired. We want a little break. My son's with me, and I'm working with one person who's the liaison, sort of their internal tech support. I mean, she's not a real techie, but she's the one on site who keeps things running, the office manager, and knows more than anybody else from a technology standpoint. We said, look, we're going to take your desktop and a couple laptops, and we're going to take them to my house. We're going to hook them up, and we're going to see if we can connect. And then we're going to remote. We will grab lunch, and then we'll come back, see that we can still connect and get mail while we're in the domain environment. And then if we can, we'll just bring the rest of the laptops back to my house and manually configure them. We configure the two laptops that are Windows 10. We don't watch which laptops we bring. It's a mixed environment. There's some Windows 7 laptops. There's some Windows 10. And oh, by the way, the desktop is Windows 7. They're all Office 2016. We bring the desktop. We hook it up. No joy. We still cannot connect to be able to set up that profile. But the two laptops connect it right away. And we're like, this works. So I send my son back to the environment to see if they can connect. Now, they do. I have to mention one thing. There was a registry entry that SureWeb had me add to the Office 16 Outlook auto-discover. So, HKEY current user, software, Microsoft Office 16.0, Outlook, then auto-discover. And it's exclude last known good URL. And we changed the value to 1. We did that when we were on site, and that did not work. So in the interim, I'm back on the phone with SureWeb. He says, let me look. I think there's other registry entries that we can make, and I'll email them to you. I said, okay. My son, I want him to bring back all the rest of the laptops. I want them all here. Because we had some success. So I figure, okay, maybe there's an issue with this desktop. So we get a couple laptops, but it's interesting. We keep getting prompted for the password, but my son had the persistence on one of them that he kept at it, and finally it connected. But then it kept adding again. It kept asking the next time we loaded the profile. We'd ask for the password again. We're like, no. I'm on the phone with SureWeb. I'm getting frustrated. My son's there. And I'm like, I got to call the wolf. And Michael knows, and he starts laughing. The guy on the phone's like, the wolf? Do you know Pulp Fiction? And he says, yes. I said, well, I got to call the wolf.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
Good. We got one.
So I heard. May I come in?
Yeah, please do.
I call Winston Wolf because he solves problems. And those of you who listen, who know, who have been at different functions and events, you've met Winston, and that's his alias that he goes by because he solves problems. So he's on the phone, and I got SureWeb on the phone, and we're going to do everything humanly possible to solve this. We agree that there are 4 registry entries, and I'm going to have this listed in a text file. And Winston brings up one that he had to use. He says, I know there's a registry entry I used to solve this problem before because he ran into this, and it's exclude explicit 0365 endpoint. And you got to make that a 1. There were 2 others supplied by SureWeb called explicit HTTPS auto discover domain and exclude, and then exclude HTTPS root domain. Again, I will have a text file exactly how you make these registry entries. I created a .reg. And oh, by the way, today I tested that on Windows 10 because we had a new system that we had to connect. I remoted in and it was on the domain and we were having trouble with the password. Finally, it connected. But then the next time we loaded Outlook, I used the reg entry because I put it in a software section on their server and it fixed it immediately. All of the Windows 7 systems needed this registry in order for us to successfully connect to SureWeb to start getting mail. The one system, the desktop, it's really bothering me. So as a backout, I configure a profile for IMAP and have no issue. And we get right in. And that was going to be my worst case scenario for that one person. And oh, by the way, that's the liaison and the person who manages the office. Her desktop, I had Outlook running from IMAP, but that was not acceptable. I sick Winston Wolf on this while I'm still working on the other laptops to make sure they're configured. The desktop's behind me and I have Instant House Call on it on my computer. Winston is an Instant House Call user, so it's very easy for me to conference him in. I put his email in, I conference him, and he goes to work. So the first thing, I'm watching a little bit, but I can't pay attention because I'm also working on these laptops, and I see that he backs up the registry. Anytime you're going to mess with the registry, you got to back it out. You got to back it up, and you got to make sure, because this way you could just restore everything, just restore the registry, and you're all good. Now, he persistently works on trying to get this to connect. And about the same time, my son and I are finishing with all the laptops and we're good. We're booting at the and restarting the profile. It's not prompting for the password. It looks like we're heading to victory, except for this frustrating desktop. Winston's on speakerphone. I let the guy from SureWeb off the hook and say, look, we're at a point where I got 10 of the 11 systems working. We just got this frustrating one with the desktop, but at least it's working with IMAP. And I said, I think you've done everything you can. Now, there are 20 other things that SureWeb gave me to do during this process that didn't solve this. So I'm concentrating on the solution here, which is those registry entries. But there was something else. And there was something about this desktop that Winston would not let go. He searched the registry for all instances of auto discover and changed it to the proper auto discover, not going auto discover to the local domain name. When he made all those changes, he says, all of a sudden I hear, Mike, I got it. And I turn around, I look at my screen, and he's in. That's the first time we've successfully connected the new profile on that desktop. So what's going on here? First, if it was Office 2010, no problem because you can manually, actually, I think on 2013 you can manually create a hosted exchange connection by just putting in the server and all the information that you have. Well, Microsoft has taken that away from us on Outlook 2016. This is the first time I've ever had to work with Outlook 2016 where I'm doing an email migration from a local server. So the last time I've done this, it's been a few years ago. Everybody was Office 2010. No problem. Once I made that command change, at the server, turning off the local auto discovery, all was good. But not with Office 2016, not with Outlook 2016. It continues to persist and look locally at the domain, regardless of where we're telling it. So you have to manually go in and make those changes. I wanted to go over this entire process because it was frustrating. We're now 9-10 hours into this by the time we finish, because once it's working, I thank Winston Wolf for his dedication and persistence and helping. I said, look, we got to go back. This is still going to be a long night, because remember, I got to upload those four big files. So we go back, we set everything up, but there's two more things that I did that makes for a successful migration. One, you got to turn on the signatures. Now, since it's the same Outlook, but a different profile, the signatures are still there. So all you got to do is activate the signature. But what about autocomplete? You have to send a message to turn on the new auto stream, the autocomplete stream. You got to send a message and receive a message. And by the way, along the way, we made sure we could do that multiple times. So we knew mail was going to each of the systems back and forth. I download from Neursoft, which will be another link in the show notes, NK2 Edit. I open up NK2 Edit. You have to know, are you dealing with Office 64-bit or 32-bit? And I hope it's 32-bit, because you really don't want to run 64-bit. That's a whole different problem with add-ins. So it's 32-bit. I then look for where the last autocomplete stream is located. It brings you right to that directory. You take a look and you see it's a really big file compared to the one you have where you've only set one message. And I open it up. I highlight all the entries. And let me tell you, these users had 700, 800, 900 autocomplete entries. They are certainly going to miss them. And then I export it to the information store, which is up in the cloud in Hosted Exchange. Just takes a second, but it's that little extra step that makes it more pleasant for all the users. I make sure their signatures are in place. So each system, I start to import the PST on the little files. So I start those import processes, and I know I'm crushing the upload on the internet. The four big ones, I copy that to my solid state drive. Then I find out there's a second user account that this person monitors on the desktop. So I have to add another account. And with the changes that Winston Wolf made on that desktop, I was able to easily add that account with no issue. So we have two Hosted Exchange email accounts coming to the one profile, and it was no problem. Everybody else, the imports were happening or done. They're all on. I have instant house call access to check on the four that I'm importing. So I come home. We leave. They lock up. The first, Michael heads home. It's been a long day for him. I now FTP those four files to the holding area. You get a temporary holding area for these PSTs when you're setting up a new Hosted Exchange account. For this very reason, I have these big files, and now I match up the four files. About an hour later, I see that they're all complete, where they've all been imported into their exchange account, and now they're going to be flowing. I open a bottle of wine, and I text Winston the picture of the wine, which was funny because he's the one who introduced me to this wine a few years ago. It was the Simi Merlot. And I'll never forget, Winston was here for the weekend. We're having dinner. I think we were doing sushi at the Bluefin. And we were at a wine and spirit store because it was BYOB. And he sees the Simi and he's like, oh my gosh, the price of this, it was so inexpensive. And he says, I love this wine. And he's going to smuggle some bottles back to where he's from. And I'm like, I got to buy a couple of these. And we bring one right to the restaurant and kill it while we're having some great sushi. And it's so funny that I had a bottle of Simi Merlot here, and I text Winston a picture of me and the bottle of Simi Merlot, and I thank him dearly for his great assistance in overcoming this problem. My client, happy, happy, happy. Although the one person seen some of how the sausage is made, nobody in that company knows what really happened. They just know when they came in Monday morning, it didn't look any different. Email was perfect. It was just like they left, but now they're hosted Exchange instead of local. Now, something very interesting. Since these guys are all CPAs, they travel. Do you know how they would get their mail when they're on the road? Their Exchange, when they would leave that office, they couldn't use Outlook. They would use the web-based, and it would work sometimes, and sometimes it wouldn't. I just learned this on Saturday, and I was like, you're kidding me. I said, you know, they're going to be able to take this laptop anywhere in the world. As long as they have internet, they're going to get their mail, and they don't have to go to web-based. I didn't realize that's an instant upgrade to all those users, just being able to get mail where they're not tied to the local server. Very interesting. That was just another bonus on this migration. Monday, we had a couple things to help them that was not email related, which was good. And Mike Jr. took care of them. We had to do some two Windows 10 installs on two laptops. Then Wednesday, I had Proofpoint set up for all the encryption. No problem. I trained the user on how everything's working, uploaded their logo. This is where you can send an encrypted email and it presents the user with a portal. They have to log in. And if it's their first time, they have to verify it's them. So they put their email address in and then it automatically sends them an email and they have to verify it. And then they never have to do that again. And they can always receive the encrypted email. And this is an add-on feature to SureWeb. After you have their regular hosted Exchange, I add Proofpoint Essentials to each of the accounts. That's all tested and working. Today, Thursday, one of those systems that was redone, the user installed Outlook and Office, got it on the domain. We remoted in. It's Windows 10. Although we did connect on the next load of the profile, it kept asking for the password. I said, okay, kill that. I said, let's add the registry entry for Windows 10. So I right-clicked, merged the registry with these keys that I'm going to have as a text file in the show notes. Not even a reboot. Loaded Outlook, never asked for the password again. And we did it a couple times. Very critical links in tonight's show that is for an email migration if you have a local domain controller. These are the challenges. And hopefully, if you run into this, you won't have to go through the pain and suffering, where we still had a lot of work to do, but I would say it was probably overall 4, maybe 5 extra hours that we were dealing with the problem from a 10-hour day. That's not too bad. And we kept it to one day, and it didn't spill into Sunday, which I was very, very happy. But it made for a long day, but it was a happy ending and everything turned out great. It was a team effort. And something I learned a long time ago, when you are dealing with a problem, it is so much easier to share the problem and the pain with someone else. When I was in the corporate world and I had to dispatch my techs for maybe it was a server upgrade for one of the regional offices, which we had a dozen, and we would always schedule every summer different weekends, but I would send my teams in pairs. I would not send anybody out alone to work and possibly run into problems and not have anything to bounce off of. You need that second pair of eyes sometimes. You got to have something. And this is such a valuable lesson if you're in the business and you're doing this. Have a network of people. This is a tremendous segue into how do you meet these people? What do you do? Well, TechCon Unplugged, which is next year, September 20th through the 22nd at Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it's techconunplugged.com. That's how you meet people that can be part of your network. These conferences, this is how you expand your reach and knowledge base. I always tell people, any possible new clients, I tell them, if I don't know the answer is just one phone call away from me to get the answer. And I'll tell them, hey, I don't know, but I'm going to find out because I have access to everybody, everything to be able to solve a problem. You can't have the answer to everything. If you do, God bless you. That's great. That's tremendous. But we can't all know all things. But having access, that's what you need. And you need to meet like-minded small business entrepreneurs who are in the field doing what we're doing and discuss and talk about things. This is where we get solutions. This is where you open up your network and contact sphere to be able to solve things like this. Winston has been a long, long listener of the Mike Tech Show. We go back many, many years. A little story. I met him. Remember the site Dig? Well, the first time I had this download for portable utilities, I made it to the front page of Dig. And my website could not handle the demand for the download. Winston contacted me and sent me an email. I called him and he said, Mike, I offer mirroring your downloads during this time that you're battling with. It was great. And I got to the front page of Dig again because they said he's even added mirrors because he's reached the first page of Dig. That was just so cool. So that's how far back we go to like my first year of ever podcasting. And I've been doing this for 13 years. Tells us how old we are. And look how we met and have a friendship that's where we've helped each other. He's helped me on projects. This is how you expand your knowledge and your network by including others. And I don't care what profession it is. This happens to be technology. If you're art, if you're a photographer, if you're a musician, having other people to discuss this is what, and having other people to bounce options off of and ideas off of, that's what this is all about. I hope that the Mike Tech Show is bringing people together when I share problems, or I maybe read someone's problem or read someone's answer to someone else's problem. I'm the conduit to problems and solutions, and that's what I want to be. This was a prime example of reaching out to someone, getting the help, making this project work and successful. This is the last show before Christmas, and everybody who's celebrating Christmas, may you have a happy and safe Christmas holiday. But before we wrap up here, every year I like to play a song that's my favorite Christmas song. And because I love Pachelbel's Canon in D, and this is a Christmas canon by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That was A Christmas Canon by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I want to thank everybody for using the Amazon link, supporting Instant House Call by buying Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro. Just used it again this week. We had a system crash at one of my clients, and they were able to get a refurb. I sent my son. I texted him. I said, grab the refurb. Come down. Bring it. We hooked them up. Used Fab's. Took the hard drive out of the old system. Used Fab's. Had them up in an hour with a full system crash. That was perfect. It was by having the right tool to be able to do everything. That's it. I wish everybody a happy and safe Christmas. I'll see you back here next week before New Year's, because I'm going to do a show on the 27th, and I'm going to do a New Year's Eve show. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.